If, in fact, Alabama wins on Saturday night against LSU, that's setting up for a rematch in Atlanta between Georgia and Alabama. And the Beard Boys are going to assume that they're going to come to my house and stay, and they're wanting to go to all these restaurants. Oh, hell, they'll get here on Tuesday thinking they're going to go to Hawkinsville, they're going to go to the Taco Shed. That's what he thinks, you know. He doesn't know I'm going to let him off at the YMCA and let him go to the chow line downtown. Now, we might bring you to the Hawkinsville to Hawkinsville to go to the steakhouse, Brett Beard. You got to behave, and you got to promise me that if Alabama wins again this year, you won't get in the parking lot of wherever we have breakfast on Sunday and scream, "Roll Tide!"
And just let that slip out as I did last year. By the way, Bernice is the best-looking woman that I've seen on Facebook in 2 weeks. The job they did on Bernice to make her up. Listen, I would if Bernice was a human, I'd ask her out for a day.
Well, I've seen some of the dogs you've dated, and she's in the higher percentage. I can tell you that. No, bless her heart. My dog's had two rounds of dog has had two rounds
yep.
of cancer, but she looks good, and they
she
did
sure
a great
does.
Job to spruce her up, and hope she can stay healthy because I love her like we love all our dogs. D A W G S, Brett Beard. I hope you understand how to spell it correctly.
Yes, we're a little excited about, you know, the only issue, that the only fly in the ointment, and that there's not another person on this planet who knows this better than you. If Donald Trump makes me late to that football game again like he did 2 years ago, that you had to listen to me fuss
Lord.
And cuss and complain for 2 hours, You know, because you were there, that I do not want that to happen again.
Oh, you showed your behind walking up that wet concourse at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, mad at the president getting in our way when we were getting rained on.
I was.
And if it happens again on Saturday, you're going to be voting for Pocahontas in next November, and that's embarrassing.
Oh, man.
Hey, and Russ doesn't know that. I don't think I've told Russ this. Well, maybe I did. But Russ, last week I was on the air with Brett. We're having our regular Thursday interview, and his brother showed up.
Yep.
So I just let Brent kind of answer Brett, because Brett did not know that his brother was there. So that was kind of funny. But I think Brett got back at Brent and myself. Because 10 minutes later is when it's poured down rain. And so thanks to that, Brett.
Listen, he told me about that. Everything's going well. And then a downburst, and you've got to run for your life to save the equipment. Believe me, we've been there before.
Yeah, it was dicey there for a minute. But what did you think about that game in Jacksonville last week, Georgia, Florida? What were your thoughts?
Georgia controlled the line of scrimmage. I thought it was the first complete game that Georgia's played this year. Again, they sent out the message, guys, we're still dominant. We own the SEC East. Third down was certainly critical at how successful Georgia was. I've been listening to this stuff all year, and I'm sure your listeners talked about this too. I know Jake Fromm has not played as well. He saves his best games for Alabama, by the way. But he hasn't played as well this year. You know, again, the Kentucky game was in a monsoon, and he didn't play well in a couple of other games. Even the opening game of the season, which Georgia didn't want to show anything. But Fromm's such a leader, and he's aggressive. That's one of the things I like about him. But once again, I thought that Florida was a year away. I give credit to Mullen. He's done a good job with their offense and developing Trask. They still have not developed their offensive line. I give a lot of credit to Georgia's front seven. And, yes, every time I see Monty Rice make a tackle, I literally sigh. But I thought Georgia established their dominance once again last Saturday.
Why is Dan Mullen such a putz?
Well, some of it becomes natural for him through his personality. I do think that he is going to get Florida. He's done a better job with the offense. It's nearly been a decade, and we talk to Florida beat writers all the time. They've developed some weapons. You know, Zuniga comes back, Bernard comes back, and Kadarius Toney from Mobile, and we've talked about him. He's a real weapon. He reminds me a little bit of Jalen Waddle, and we'll get into that in a minute. But, again, I give credit to Georgia, their defensive game plan. Florida can run worth a lick. And you and I have been following this league for decades. If you can stop the run and run the ball, you can win a lot of football games.
Yeah, and as we said last week, if you can't run the football, your chances of winning are just very slim. And, I mean, they had 21 yards, Brett. You can't expect a team to win with 21 damn rushing yards.
No, there's no question. Again, some of that were sacks. Now, Florida had been able to break off some long runs against South Carolina. They had a couple against Auburn. But, no, in this league, if you're not running for 125 to 150 yards in a big game, you're just not going to win.
Brett Beard, our guest, talking college football. He is on 93.9thescore.com every day from 1 until 3 Eastern, 12 until 2 Central Time. All right, before we get to the big game, what were your thoughts when you heard that Ohio State was the number one team in the country according to the quote-unquote official poll on Tuesday night?
I thought that's what they were going to do because but whether you like it or not, they're probably the most complete team in the country. Now, again, have they played anybody? Not really. You know, that's going to change. Certainly with Penn State and Michigan coming up, Justin Fields is playing better. I thought Ryan Day would do a good job. Their defensive front seven is very good. I wasn't surprised. And it really came out the way I thought it would. Ohio State won. LSU, of course, they're having a very good year. They're the sexy, trendy pick right now. And Nick Saban said, thank you for making Alabama number three. You know, there's debate about Georgia. Look, all this stuff's going to take care of itself. There's debate about Georgia and Clemson. Should they have been higher? It's all going to take care of itself. All you got to do is continue to win. But for the first poll, that's about where I thought it would. And like or not, Ohio State, and I know they won't, certainly they're never going to admit it, but they certainly would like to get the Big Ten back in the 14 playoff. But that's kind of where I thought it would wash out.
All right. So as you said, it kind of played into Saban's hands, and now his team hosts LSU, Go Tigers. And, I mean, it's a tremendous matchup. I guess first question is, what have you heard about the status of Tua Tagovailoa?
Tua's 90 to 95%. He is going to play without question. This is the other ankle from last year. I think he learned had a rehab. The ankle, again, the tightrope procedure we talked about, doesn't expedite the healing process, but it keeps you from having another one. You know, before the insiders have told us, and again, the viewing period is smaller. Every time there's a big game, it gets smaller as the week progresses. But some of the insiders who have stayed for the practice have told us or were allowed to stay longer. He doesn't seem to have any issues. Now, he was wearing a sleeve on the ankle or the leg the other day, but that was just precautionary. But, you know, I'm sure Steve Sarkisian and Saban has told him that you've got 50 yards of green grass in front of you, run to the sticks and sit down. But as far as his ability to play the game, there's no question he's going to play. Now, we've been told Mac Jones has received a lot of reps with the first team because Saban's concerned. Again, he's always thinking ahead. If anybody accidentally hits the ankle, either in practice or during the game, but is forced participating in the game, he's a full go. I think right now he'll be at 90 to 95%. I had a question about the plant foot, and I heard that was okay too. So, no, I think he's going to be ready to go.
All right, how do you differentiate these two teams? We have two great quarterbacks who are considered NFL prospects. We have two great groups of receivers. What's the difference in these two teams, in your opinion?
I think that's the key. They're really mirror images of each other, and that, to me, is the underlying theme of this game. When you go back to 2011, and that game had the most NFL talent I've ever seen on a field, and I've been blessed to be watching SEC since 65. 28 of those players were drafted, 14 of each team. 10 first-round draft choices, 45, I believe, totally played that night, were drafted. And I think the thing that strikes me about this, well, two things, is the difference in the 2011 game and the 2019 and how Saban did it first and he saw it coming, is to be able to adapt to the game now and use your personnel and utilize a generational quarterback and wide receivers. Orgeron, and a lot of people say, and Orgeron even hinted at it, the reason we changed to this, brought in Joe Brady and looked at Joe Burrow, was we wanted to go to the up-tempo, spread formation, because we knew we could not beat Alabama. And to me, the second theme of the game is, this is the first game in probably 8 years that LSU legitimately has a chance to win the game. And a lot of it is the offense. The defense for both of these teams, not the caliber that we're so familiar with, but they're still good defenses. They're ranked in the top 20 or 30. I think that's been overlooked quite a bit. But the two things to me is how different now the offensive philosophies are. Both teams adapted, and the fact that, and I've seen it trending now more toward Alabama, because a lot of the, quote, college football experts realize Saban's had extra time to prepare for the game. So has LSU. In fact, they even, I know in 2010, he sent some of his defensive staff to New England, and they came out with a defensive plan for Cam Newton, and it worked for three quarters. They ended up losing the game. I wouldn't be surprised if he sent some staff up to talk to Belichick in the last couple of weeks. But the other, besides the offensive changes, is the fact that LSU does have a legitimate chance to win the game.
You know, Brett, I think that's the one thing that does set this game apart. We've had many matchups with LSU and Alabama, even last season, yep, where we thought and assumed, all right, this is going to be the year that LSU can catch Alabama, etc. We saw last year it wasn't even close. I mean, that was ridiculous. But there is a difference this year. I'm not exaggerating here, I don't think. If they win this game, Ed Orgeron's not only the coach of the year, he may be the coach of the decade because of the change he made that allowed him to go into Tuscaloosa and win this game, if it happens.
No, I agree with you, Bill. The last 5 or 6 years in particularly, and number one, the rosters have changed a little bit. Alabama and Georgia and Clemson, to me, from top to bottom, have the three deepest rosters in college football. But if they come back and win this game over last year being shut out, and again, they've had Fournette, he finally realized, fighting Alabama in the phone booth, which is what Saban loves, he can go into his basic 3-4 defense and just fight it out. Now, Alabama doesn't have Jonathan Allen or Quinnen Williams on the defensive front. And, again, Auburn used that 3-1-7 that Kevin Steele came up with because Marlon Davidson and Brown, or that they get so much pressure up front. Alabama's got to bring pressure from the edges, and they don't have to sack Burrow, but they've got to hurry him. I'll be honest with you, Bill. One of my main concerns in this game is LSU running the ball late. Hilaire did very well against Auburn. That's really primarily the reason they pulled away on the last touchdown drive. But I give it to Coach O, and people have ridiculed him for years, and he really has matured. He said, I'm an entirely different coach than the one I was at Ole Miss and when I was an interim coach at USC. He's learned his lesson. Brady, as we talked about before, is a hot commodity. Will he be at LSU next year? We'll see where it shakes out. But, yes, if LSU does win the game Saturday, no question, but I think he will get the coach of the year.
Well, it's been a tremendous metamorphosis with what LSU football has been all about. And again, I'm probably oversimplifying this, but it's almost like Ed Orgeron led a meeting with his coaches, with Steve Ensminger, and then, of course, even before he brought Joe Brady in and saying, all right, we can't catch Alabama doing what we're doing. Now,
correct.
What do we do? And here's the result. Here's what they've done. And it's I hope this game will live up to its billing and not be another dud like last year, because last year was just not any good at all.
No, I think this one will live up to the expectations. You know, is it going to be 45-43? I really do think that Alabama is going to try to run the game. I think the advantage Alabama's got now, if this game would have been played a month ago, I'll be honest with you, LSU would have come close to winning the game. I think what has changed for Alabama is the emergence of the offensive line. Deontay Brown, affectionately known as Cornbread, now cemented in at right guard. Landon Dickerson has moved from right guard to center. Chris Owens has been moved to tight end. Kendall Randolph. Miller Forstall is out with one of the more unusual injuries I've ever seen. Got hit in the Adam's apple and had surgery entered his voice box in his throat. He's doing much better now. But I think the offensive line for Alabama is going to allow them, and they can keep throwing the ball when you've got the greatest receiver core in college football, certainly in the history of the program. They're going to throw the ball, but the offensive line, to me, is going to be the key. I don't care if they both throw 55 passes. The offensive line always wins this game. And the team that runs the ball the most effectively, as with Georgia and Florida, is going to win this game. But they're both going to do what they do. They're both going to score points. I think Jalen Waddle is going to be a key. Can he do what he did against Texas A&M, get a first down on every punt return? Can Ruggs return one, possibly for a touchdown or non-offensive touchdown? But I think they both are going to throw the ball, and it's a fourth-quarter game, and Alabama struggles some in the fourth quarter. That's another thing that I want to see from this team. The last 3 years, they faded in November, because it's been so physical, and they have peaked against LSU, and they've been on fumes sometimes when they played Auburn and Georgia. Will they get stronger in November going into the postseason? But I don't think this will be a dud. I think this will be a good game that comes down to the end.
All right, now, are you going?
Yes.
All right, so that means that everybody has to be on lookout if Alabama wins for you to stalk Nick Saban after the game on television.
Well, once again, it's going to be a media frenzy. Brother Brent is driving up.
So. I know.
Now, think about this before a minute. You know, the Secret Service, not only are they there to protect the president, but they know the Beard Boys are going to be there, and anything may happen late in the game.
Oh, gosh. That's kind of what Lee Harvey said right before he did his thing, so you better be careful about that kind of comment. All right, Brett Beard, our guest, 939thescore.com. Every day, the Boomo Bug Show starring Brett Beard. Brett, thank you.
Always enjoy it, buddy. Tell Bernice and the dogs hello for me.
I will. Okay.